If you are into blockchain application development, looking for an interface for multi-asset tokens, continue listening to the special episode on NFT Ethereum Standard. Welcome to Peep and Eep episode 107. I'm your host, Pooja Ranjan. Today we will talk about ERC-5773 context-dependent multi-asset tokens with Team Remark and co-authors of this EIP. Originally proposed in October 2022, this proposal is in final status, meaning it is recommended for project developer to implement it. To provide an overview of this standard on Peep and Eep, the only EIP-focused series dedicated about learning for EIPs and ERCs, let me invite Steven Pineda and Ian Turk. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Priya.
May we begin with a quick round of introduction before getting into the presentation, followed by Q&A, if time permits.
Okay, sure. Steven, you can go ahead.
So I'm Steven. I've been doing software for a bit over 10 years now. And the last year and a half, I've been deeply into blockchain and more specifically into NFTs. Last year, doing it from Remark. And I'm co-author of 5 EIPs now, 3 of them in final, together with Jan and the team. So glad to be here.
And hi, yeah, my name is Jan. I've been developing Solidity smart contracts and all blockchain since 2016. It's been a wild ride since then. I've done blockchain IoT, DeFi, smart cities, even 5G implementation, collaborative robotics, and now I'm working on future of the NFTs.
Well, thank you so much for the introduction. So without further ado, let's peep in.
Amazing. Yeah. So as mentioned before, we're here to talk about our ERC-5773 context-dependent multi-asset tokens. So let me just do a brief intro of how we came to the idea of doing this EIP in the first place. So we all probably know what NFTs are, but you know, just for the sake of clarity. So NFTs are unique digital tokens. They can be images, audio files, computer code, art, or basically any other format that can be stored digitally. And NFT ownership is secured by blockchain. So they can be traded frictionlessly globally. And it's a huge industry. So Blue Weave's estimate for the market growth by 2028 is $19.5 billion. That's quite a lot. So the problem that we saw with the NFTs is that they're mostly static, and they're static not in a sense that they don't move, because you have GIFs, you have videos, animations, audio files as well. But no matter where you access the NFT, you will always get the same result. So this is still kind of a benefit of an NFT, because it's reliable that you'll get what you expect. But on the other hand, it's limiting. So these NFTs cannot evolve and be flexible for many businesses or creative users. And there have been attempts to do more with NFTs. So individual projects have developed their systems of their own, but the issue there was that they couldn't be displayed on conventional marketplaces in wallets that were not developed by the teams. So at Remark, we tackled this. So we designed a set of protocols to bring NFTs to the next level. We call it NFT 2.0. So we allow businesses and creatives who want to benefit from this exponential growth to use our standards. And we started on Kusama Network, where we polished all of our standards, all of our Legos. And now moving to EVM, we already have quite a lot of battle experience. So we want to give the ability for NFTs 2.0 to every developer out there. Okay. So let's talk about ERC-5773. So in its essence, it means one NFT has multiple assets. So this allows for context-dependent output, which allows the NFT to be viewed from different contexts. This means either from a marketplace or your wallet or a different application. So it could be an ebook reader, or it could be an audio player. And the NFT would load differently based on the context in which it is open to. And even, you know, in the marketplace, you cannot really show the full 3D avatar from the game that has full range of motions and everything, but you can show the sprite, or you can show the image that represents it. So assets can be thought of independent of one another, but they're not complete standalone entities. So not like NFTs, which can be traded, which can be sent around. Assets are tied to the token itself. So this extends utility of tokens to be used in multiple scenarios. Like, you could have a gaming skin NFT that can be used in game A. Let's not use names, but let's just say game A. And you could also add an asset that is the same skin, but in the format of game 2. So one could be high definition 3D asset, and another one could be pixelated sprite. And you could also have an asset that represents it in the marketplace. So it's like three contexts that work very well together. And this also kind of introduces forward compatibility. So if you have a game engine that supports certain files and certain assets, but then you want to go to game version 2, and you want to upgrade your game engine, you need new assets. This would mean that with legacy NFTs, NFTs 1.0, you wouldn't be able to use the same NFT in the next game. So this would basically mean that all the NFTs that you had for the original game would be lost. But this way, with the ability to add assets to the NFT, you basically allow for the NFT to just evolve, be further compatible with the next game. So you don't have a bloat of NFTs in your wallet and on chain that cannot be used after game cycle is finished. So let's review some potential use cases, and then Steven will jump into the actual use cases that are already being implemented. Do you want to take the first one, Steven?
Sure. So one of the most basic cases we have seen this being used is for reveal NFTs. So there are many games, for instance, that you buy either a box, a mystery box, or a neck from some creature. And from then, eventually, it will open or hatch, and you will discover your actual NFT. This is very common in NFT collections, especially on gaming. So with this, initially, every NFT will have some asset, or maybe a different asset according to some ranks. And then once the reveal time comes, the issuer will add a new asset, will send a new asset with the hatched version, with the open or the final revealed version to each of the NFTs. And something that is important here, it's up to the holders to either accept it or not. We wanted to give holders the full control. We still have all these abilities to evolve the NFT, but in the end, we want to also prevent rug pulls by default. We already saw the case when a collection, I don't even remember the name, but better not to say it anyway. So there was this collection where holders were not paying royalties. So one of the developers said, oh, you don't want to pay? Okay. And then he replaced all the assets for some, I don't know what kind of image. So with this, we have all this forward compatibility, but still the holders, they have control. Want to take the next?
Yeah, sure. I just have a great example that, you know, is from my childhood and probably a lot of other listeners as well. It's so with evolving, it's basically similar to the Pocket Monsters game that you could do on a color handheld console when your Pocket Monster started evolving. If you started spamming B, it wouldn't evolve. So this is kind of this accept asset mechanic. But yeah, let's go to the next example. So our next example is IoT, Internet of Things. So you have a lot of devices and sensors, and you need a system to manage them. And if each sensor or a device is represented by the NFT, this means that you can store lot of information in it. So you can store a data sheet of what the actual device or sensor can do, is capable of, in what conditions it can operate. You can also keep track of the firmware that's been loaded onto the device, as well as geographical location of the device and multiple other things. So basically you can have all of, so your whole IoT system virtualized with NFTs, and you don't need to have a hundreds of NFTs for a single device. You just need one, and that one has hundreds of assets. So
any kind of all. Okay, the next concept is actually the one which excites me the most, which is something we call forward compatibility. And I find it really, really interesting because you, as a collection issuer, you don't have to know in advance everything that you want to do, or every place or app or game that you want your NFT to be compatible to. So you can start even with a single image just for the marketplace. And as your collection evolves over time, you can start adding assets for different metaverses or for different games or different types of media. So this is, for me, it's the most powerful thing that this ERC provides.
And if we go back to the multimedia, which is currently one of the most common use cases for NFTs, you could have a different types of content, like ebook, for example, represented by multiple assets. So one would be the ebook cover that you would see in the marketplace, in the library. And then another asset could be a short excerpt of the book. So, you know, the preview to get the feel of how the book is written, what it's written about, so that you can decide whether or not to buy it. And then the whole PDF that would load into an ebook reader, and an audio file that would load into audio reader. And similar goes for music, where you could have a preview of the album and then songs as assets or metadata that attributes the authors and the producers and the whole team that's working behind it, as well as lyrics as another asset. And ticketing is also a really potent use case for multimedia ERC 5773 use, where you could have a ticket that is a PDF, and then you can have QR code as another asset, and then you can have bonus content for the event that you're going to. So it could either be an additional song if you're going to the concert, it could be a treasure hunt map if you're going to a festival. So it really just opens up a lot of possibilities when you buy a ticket.
As Jan mentioned previously, we have tested already this protocol in Kusama for over a year. One of the things, or of the ways I've seen artists use this, is that they have an asset for the art piece, which is a static image, and then they also have a video of the making of that art piece. So it also adds more value to the NFT. Another use case, but I think I already mentioned it, is multiverse. So you can add assets to make your NFT compatible with different metaverses or platforms. And just as long as the user or as the holder accepts it, he will be able to use it there.
And the last example that we have is backup. So it's as simple as it sounds. If you are able to have multiple assets, this means that you can have the same asset added to the token and hosted on various protocols and in various ways. So either centralized or decentralized. We root for decentralization, but you know, it's worth mentioning that either can be implemented, but totally up to the implementer. So this means that if once a service becomes unreachable, something goes wrong with the network, you can still access the other one and still get the asset that you want. And you can, another benefit of our proposal is that you can prioritize the assets. So you can also decide which service you trust the most and have that as your primary service to serve the asset, and then, you know, go down the line of trust to the most unreliable service on the last place.
Okay, so before we actually published the first draft proposal to the forum and open discussion, we're working on this protocol for several months. So by the time we published it, we already had an internal package which we had shared with our community, and we have been improving it and as we apply all the suggestions from the forum. So if you want to use this ERC, there is a ready-to-use implementation, actually a few ready-to-use implementations on this NPM package. We'll add the link later on a link tree. An important thing to note here is that we have two versions. We were inspired a lot by what OpenZeppelin does and also how ERC 721 is implemented. So what we did is we have like a core implementation which has the minimal functionality that this like a smart contract needs to have in order to be compliant with this ERC. And we also have some internal methods for advanced things. So for instance, ERC 721 doesn't include mint or burn functions, but they are very common. So here in these core implementations, we just have internal functions to do the burning or minting, and other actions as adding an asset or adding an asset to a token. And then on top of that, we built three different opinionated versions. So by opinionated, I mean that we took some decisions, for instance, who should add an asset, who should add an asset to a token, who should be able to mint or not, and what's the payment method, for instance. So on the opinionated versions, we have a pre-mint version, when only the issuer or a contributor has access to the minting and he doesn't have to pay. And then we also have two other versions which are payable, which use lazy minting schema. That means each NFT is minted as a holder buys it. And we have a version of this for payments with native token and with ERC20 token. So it's really as simple as using OpenZeppelin. Like if you're familiar with smart contracts and NFTs, you probably have used this package where you just import the implementation from them and just inherit it and add your custom logic. We have the same for a non-opinionated version where you get or you have to add all the rest of the functions like minting and adding assets. And we also provide these two opinionated, which are entirely ready to use. So there are already, besides the implementations in Kusama, there are already some implementations on EVM, two gaming collections. One is Snake Soldiers, which I'm one of the authors, and another one is Everloot. They're both focused on gaming, and they use this ERC together with others we have proposed. So for instance, on Snake Soldiers, I use the multi-asset for the reveal of the X, which then hatch into snakes, and Everloot also does it. There is another app which is still on testing, but it has another interesting use case. And it's a short-term rental DApp. It's called Bombo. And it uses multi-assets to handle or to manage the different pictures associated with a property. So you create a property, an NFT, which represents the property you're putting into rent. And you can add multiple assets to it, one for each image that you want to show. And maybe later they could also add an asset for your contract or for the location, or it's a matter of creativity, actually. Okay, so as I mentioned, we have been building this for actually over a year now, I think. So we have plenty of documentation from all the NPM package. So we've been very careful with documentation, especially Yang here is very detailed on it. So all the methods of all our implementations are well documented, and all this is available in the documentation site we will share in the link tree. I personally did some video tutorials. So it's a series of, so far, of only 15 videos, 5 to 15 minutes, where I explain how to use these and other ERCs in a real project, the Snake Soldiers, which I mentioned earlier. So it can give people a good feel or a good idea or how they can use this ERC to do their custom implementations. We have some journeys also, like some basic use case samples where we go through a development like a journey of coding and adding different assets and accepting them and replacing them and doing all the interactions that we support. We also have a GitHub template, which you just fork and has everything ready to use. You just do yarn or npm install and it will have all the packages. It uses Hardhat in the NPM package. We mentioned also Open Sampling and several other tools. So you can just fork that, and it even comes with a sample contract. And so you can start already in a matter of minutes deploying this ERC through a testnet. And for me, the most important tool or the most important thing that this ERC provides to DAP developers is the forward compatibility. As I mentioned, you don't need to know in advance every use case that you want to your NFT to be able to handle. You can just start with something simple and in the process start adding more assets to give it more functionality.
Yeah, so this is it for the implementations and use cases, and we wanted to share our EIP process. So we faced some of the challenges, and mostly they haven't been from the community, but rather from the process itself. So one of the things that had us bewildered was when we did a simple, I think it was maybe two sentences update, the continuous integration bot failed, I think, three or four checks. And this was due to the previously valid EIP references were renamed to ERC references. So I remember that at that point, we were kind of flip-flopping whether or not we broke the whole thing and deleted half of the proposal. But luckily, there are still errors reported at the end, so we figured out what was going on. Another thing that was kind of interesting is that we really imagined this timeline of the process being maybe shorter. And then I think that when we were discussing, hey, yeah, we're ready to go to the last call because there haven't been many complaints. And then Sam introduced us to the review stage. So yeah, it got postponed a bit, but it's still a good stage from what we've experienced so far with this and all of the other proposals. So it was a change for the better. It just had us surprised. And so this was, for most of us, first proposal. For me, it was the second one, but we weren't really sure of the timeline. So we just tried to get it into draft, and then we kind of waited. We weren't sure when to, you know, move it to review or last call. So for this one, this was a learning experience for us. And another thing was that when we first discussed, should we write a proposal or how do we write a proposal for multi-asset, my thoughts were, hey, yeah, I did one proposal in 2018. So it should be a piece of cake, right? I've seen the process. I've known it. Yeah, let's go. We can do it. And unsurprisingly, the process has changed a lot. I just somehow didn't connect the dots. So if I remember correctly, I think that the first PR that we opened had about 50 commits or something like that, because we kept fixing stuff. And I didn't go through the whole list of errors, but I went through some and then fixed those. And, you know, they were more, of course. Cool thing to note is that now we can do it in two. It just takes some practice. So two commits, one for the content and another one for the PR number. And we're happy with what we've done. And yeah, on the personal anecdote, I mean, when ERC 5773 was merged to draft, was the same day that my newborn daughter came from the hospital. So it was a really great day.
Yeah, I wanted to add something which will sound very, very dumb now after this nice story of your daughter. But two things that I like from the process is that, well, that we were assigned a reviewer, which is something I think very valuable, but it's also a bit complex because as a reviewer, I mean, reviewers are just like giving away their time, right, for the community. But sometimes you would like or expect the reviewer to do comments faster, right? So I think this is a problem many faces. I also was assigned a reviewer at some point to an EIP, and the author was really mad at me because I was taking so long. But one cool thing that happened that really gave me, I don't know, positive feelings was that we were using this inside, like internally, the sample implementation we pushed inside the assets folder. And we discovered an error And we fixed it internally, but we hadn't taken the time to update the assets on the EIP, the sample implementation there. And a few days later, our reviewer told us that there was a bug, that he thought there was a bug in the test implementation. And it was precisely what we just had fixed. So it was really nice because, I mean, he really took the time to go through it and test it. And he also added a few tests, like suggested a few tests that were missing. So I really liked that part of the process. Also, by the final weeks, we received a good suggestion on how to improve one of the events, which we also applied. So from this EIP, I think it was a mostly learning process, but we also got really good feedback and valuable feedback from the community.
Yeah, I agree. So I really think that whoever comes into the thread usually has some strong opinions, and they help shape the ERC to be better. So this was a really great part of it. Yeah, I think that we can move on to the related EIPs.
Okay, so during the process, we were suggested that there was a similar EIP, namely 4955, which is vendor metadata extension for NFTs. But it was really different to what we are doing. This EIP focuses on I want to clarify, it's not that I don't see value on this NFT, but it's just very different from what we have. So it focuses on metadata only, while we are proposing a set of functions, so an interface. This one goes only for metadata. And with that metadata, you could arguably achieve kind of the same functionalities of having multiple assets multiple associated assets into this same NFT. But the problem with using only metadata for that is that you have one of two cases. First, you have to put it all up front. So from the beginning, you need to know what metadata or all the assets you want to include. So it's not upgradable. That is in the case that where you cannot update the token URI, like the issuer cannot do it. And the second case is if the issuer can do it, it's also a bad thing because they can update it anytime and they could replace your NFT with something unvaluable or for something completely different to what you bought. So we don't like either case, and we think, or we are very confident that 5773 solves both issues by making it upgradable, but giving control to the holder. There was also a suggestion to use permissions as in 712, which we think is very valuable, but we did not include it in this proposal because we wanted to build on top of 721, and 721 uses the approve and set approval for all. So we use the same for assets. So we actually have that pair of approvals. We also have it for assets specifically. So you can have different parties manage your NFT like transfer and another party to manage the assets. So basically for consistency, we just went for the same thing as 721 has, but it doesn't mean that we cannot use this kind of sign approvals because they can always be implemented. In the future, we want to do also ready-to-use implementation or core implementations with this kind of approvals because they are clearly valuable. They avoid signing one message, so they avoid gas for one message. And they're totally, we can totally extend an implementation to include this besides the already existing ones.
So we also prepared a list of additional resources that include our documentation for the implementation of multi-asset EIP, also the link to the EIP itself and our NPM package that can be used to start developing with multi-asset EIP and so much more. And yeah, that was it from us. Thank you for taking the time. And we will, of course, be open to responding to any questions right now, but we're also available to be reached on Twitter. I am JA_JanTurk and Steven is StoicDev0. So if you have any questions or comments after this live session is completed, please don't hesitate to reach out to us.
Oh, one thing we didn't mention inside the link tree, there's also this link to the Remark Implementers Telegram chat. It has, I think, around 500 users, and all of the team from Remark is there, ready and happy to answer your doubts. We have helped several collections to use these standards on EVM. It's since it's so fresh, there are still few deployments, but we know many teams working on that, and we're happy to receive more teams to work this with these ERCs.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the presentation. I like that you have used FAQ kind of thing in the proposal, and that too without adding any external link. And the additional resources are also added in FEM, definitely helpful. I'm hoping to have all the resources that you have shared here in the description section for people to follow. I learned an interesting term today, NFT 2.0, that was quite interesting to me. And use cases and implementation that you have shared were also great. This is something new that I have noticed about the GitHub template. I think that should be great and helpful for people who are trying to implement this proposal on their project.
We really wanted to help people, and we actually were part of ZK Sync's Era hackathon where people already used the template. So we didn't get any complaints there. So it seems that it's built in a way that it helps developers.
Of course. I mean, like, I was thinking of the use case of hackathons only. Good thing that you mentioned about that. So when we are having participants in hackathons, we encourage them to use EIPs and ERCs. Sometimes they're stuck around how to use that. And if they will get templates, that would be super helpful for them.
Yeah, this is a ready-to-use template with all of our EIPs and ERCs already included.
Awesome. Cool. So I have a few questions. So here, the title contains word asset, but that asset is different than what we usually use in Web3 world. Would you maybe define asset with respect to proposal? I read a few sentences in rationale, and why this proposal is called as multi-asset token instead of multi-resources token.
This was an internal discussion for over a year. We call these EIPs Legos internally, because you stack them together to create more functionality. So this Lego was actually named multi-resource for over a year. And I think it was Sam who suggested assets. Want to take the opportunity to thank Sam and you, Fuja. You have been, both of you, very helpful during this entire process. So I think it was Sam who suggested or questioned us using assets. So that sparked an internal discussion where we evaluated the definition for similar words, and I have the definition here, which I sent to convince our team to use asset instead of resource, which is a useful or valuable thing, person, or quality. So with resources, we're usually, like, at least in the dictionary, they are more like related to things like gold or carbon, like this kind of resources, like natural resources or other type. So yeah, I don't remember which other options we had, but in the end, we agreed that asset was the most appropriate, because it's very wide, but also not that wide. so yeah, we include any type of media. That was also one of the options, I think, multimedia. That was also limiting, because not everything that can be attached is a media file. So yeah, this was like the sweet spot from looking at the dictionary, literally, to define the word.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, asset in the Web2 world is considered as asset that I can see here in the proposal. But in Web3, normally speaking, asset means a token, a coin, a currency, right? So I just wanted to have a clarification here for people to follow it correctly. My next question is with respect to proposing this as a standard. I understand that while working with Project Remark, this may have evolved. To be clear, nobody needs a standard to create a project. Help me understand, when this project like Remark was created, documented, or developed, it was done on Kasuma network. I believe that is a Polkadot network. So why did you choose, like the team choose, to propose this as an Ethereum standard?
Well, we're moving to EVM. So we also have our own marketplace called Singular. And we want to give this NFTs 2.0 power to everyone on the network, because I remember in 2016 when when I came in, the ecosystem was really, at least to me, it felt really inclusive, really friendly. And this is something that we approached like in Remark as well. So we wanted to help everyone move forward with the NFT, with the utility, because the NFTs are, currently being underutilized, being just some tokens to be traded, because they can actually represent something that brings joy to the people, or actually helps them in their real lives.
Yeah, I would like to add a couple of things. So our company is focused on NFTs. So yes, we could have done this on our own, and as we did with Kusama, although in Kusama there was another project which started supporting those NFTs with these capabilities on Kusama. So we could have gone that way, but it would be selfish, and it will limit the users to only our marketplace or people knowing us. So I think having a standard, it gives to everyone in the EVM ecosystem the chance to work with this, with what we believe is the future of NFTs, and which makes them much more valuable. So it's great to have more people on board, and doing the ERC process gives us feedback to improve our proposal. And yeah, it puts it out there. It makes it more credible or more reliable to use it. So we hope in the future to see other marketplaces also supporting this standard in several different applications using it. And I have to mention that Jan here was a big part of it. He arrived at a great point. He's great documenting and has experience with another EIP. So it gave us like that final push to go in this crazy road of publishing everything as CIPs.
A really great experience developing this for everyone, and coming in, seeing this ready to document implementations was really fun as well. And another thing that is really beneficial if we do this as EIPs is that we can have wallets implement them, so you can have assets that show you your NFT in your wallet as well. So this is really cool, because if we did it proprietary and only our marketplace would support it, then yeah, it would still show in your wallet, but with only the top asset available. But this way, you can have like the full experience from the get-go, from your phone or a plugin, whatever you use, you can see an NFT 2.0.
One more thing on top of that. So as you all know, or if anyone listening doesn't know yet, when people propose ERCs or EIPs, they are supposed to go under a license which is completely free to use and completely free to, like, you don't even have to tell or give attributions is the word I was looking for. So of course we are, as our founder says, we're giving away the keys to the castle or something like that. It's the same. And there's a tiny caveat on the NPM package that we provide, where we have all this core non-opinionated version and all the opinionated ready-to-use implementations. It uses Apache 2 license, so it's completely free to use. You don't have to pay us, but we just expect you to say, hey, we're using software developed by these guys. So it's just the only thing we ask for in exchange. That's it.
That's amazing. I have always loved this idea of, helping others, right? And I feel that is one of the key elements of Ethereum ecosystem that has helped many other developers to come across. The part of having standard Ethereum standard, why we want to have, specs getting into final status, we want to make these things free and accessible for people. The template that we are talking about here right now is not mandatory for people in terms of implementing this proposal. I'm assuming that people can even implement this proposal without, providing royalty or, the Apache fee license that you mentioned in the template. So either way, you guys have done a great job over here. Thank you for sharing. But I would like to continue the discussion of NFT 2.0 a little bit more. So just wondering, is there a way for a project developer to maybe convert their legacy NFT, as you say, to NFT 2.0?
Yes, this is a pressing point, and it's one of the critiques we have received in other EIPs, because we claim to be backwards compatible, but maybe we use the wrong wording there. We say that in the way that any NFT or any collection that is built using these standards will be able to use all the tools that are out there for 721s, for the regular NFTs. But that doesn't mean that if you already deploy a smart contract, you get these capabilities. That's just not possible on smart contracts, right? But we have thought of this, and we're still working on it. We haven't released it yet, but we have a sort of upgrader dApp, which we plan to release soon. So the idea is very simple. The collection issuer has to take a first step to wrap the collection. So this step will generate like a mirror version of the legacy collection, but using these ERCs, either just this or the other ERCs we have together. And then it's up to each holder to opt in and wrap their NFTs. So at any time, they can wrap and unwrap and get their original token back. But it's as simple as if the collection issuer agreed and saw the value on these ERCs and wants all the holders to benefit from this, he starts the process, because we could go over the issuer, but we don't want to do that. We want to be friendly with issuers out there. So let's say you have a collection, a legacy collection, just 721, you want to use multi-asset, you will like start this process. So we are aware that you as the issuer, and we check that for the contracts, want your holders to migrate if they want. And then once we have that, we create the mirror contract, and each holder can wrap and generate a new version with this NF2.0 version, sending their NFTs to this wrap version. So it's as simple as that. In that moment, we mint the NFT, we add a single asset, which is whatever your token URI was pointing to. And then on top of that, the issuer can start adding more assets, and you as the holder get to accept them. If at some point, for whatever reason, you want to go back, you can unwrap it and get your original token back. So it's entirely possible.
That's good to know. I mean, if something new is coming up, and even if the proposal does not give a full solution to it, if we have workaround, that is helpful for implementers. They can probably make use of the new proposal that is coming up. My last question was around the EIP process, but I think Ian has already explained it. I have a few comments to add over there. I was really happy and surprised to see that you were here since 2018. And I literally tried to find out a proposal. I guess it was proposal 1129 that is currently in a stagnant status. I hope if you feel like this proposal is right to be brought back to active status, please go ahead and do that. And we are here to support you. But thank you so much for like following the process. And yes, the process has changed a lot. Ethereum CAD Headers came into picture since 2019. And since then, we have tried to organize it a lot. Like earlier, it was just draft, last call, final. But now we have added a status review. And now last call is defined for just 14 days and so on and so forth. The change that you mentioned about EIP and ERC, that is also like, I'm happy that an author is catching these changes. So we are trying to automate a lot of things, like, you know, editors do not have to work too much. Some of the things can be automated with the help of bot. So this is a small change. Hopefully, rest of the proposals that you guys have came across would not be affected. But it's commendable, like, to have 3 to 5 proposals in this process with whatever process change you guys are going through. Thank you so much for contributing to the Ethereum ecosystem.
Well, thank you for helping us to contribute to the Ethereum ecosystem.
Thank you, Puya. It's really an honor to be part of this and to have our names there as ERC authors. It's really exciting.
Well, it's time to wrap up. Any final thoughts or message to the community?
Yeah, I would like to invite everyone to take a look at our still open proposals. So these are Immutable Repository, which is... Yeah, I needed to take a look at the keyboard to decode the number. And we also have a minimal transferable proposal ready, which is almost ready to go to final. I think we ironed out all of the kinks that came up during the proposal. And yeah, if anyone has any comments about our proposals, we still take a look at the threads. Even if they're final, we can still discuss any of your concerns or questions there. We're available in our implementers Telegram. We're available on Twitter. So don't hesitate to reach out with any thoughts or comments.
Yeah, we invite you to be part of the NFTs 2.0 revolution. Just come build with us. We'll be there to help you.
Awesome. These are some great words. It's kind of revolution. Yes, of course. Well, thank you, Steven, Ian. We really appreciate you taking out time to provide an overview of ERC 5773. We look forward to see standard being adopted by wider blockchain application community. On this note, thank you, YouTube viewers and ECH podcast listeners for following this talk. Should you have any question on this or any other topic, let us know at ETHCATHURDLE's Discord. Don't forget to like and subscribe this channel for more talks on EIPs and protocol upgrade. Cheers.